You are listening to Right Back Catcher, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by He's Sexy, Yes, 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 David Lim and me. When I was young, I wanted to be a punk rocker, but everybody said no. Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you? And are you ready for a bit of ding-a-ling today?
I'm good, JB. It feels like we haven't done this in such a long time. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been on my international travels just before you go on your international travels.
Yeah, I'm hoping to catch some of that tan you've came back with.
I know, it's already going. But yeah, I know I'm good. Week in Greece, straight to the Kylie Anne pop-up store.
I saw. I mean, I really applaud you for that because I took one look at that queue online and I'm just like, do you know what? I'm good girls.
I've actually planned my holiday purely so I can have a tan for this surprise Kylie Anne pop-up store.
But how was it in there?
Do you know what? It was absolutely fantastic. Hats off to Kylie and the team for such an amazing album campaign. Kylie really has been everywhere and absolutely deserved. But this store, for something that, it's a branding, marketing pop-up, it just had so much love. The staff in there were so friendly, so joyous. I mean, from their end, it's people that work at these events things. It must be a nice rarity for them that I'm sure all the audience that went are just excited pop fans. And, like us, like slightly more mature pop fans. So like calm, but excited. Yeah, just great Kylie merch. Had to try the Kylie Anne filter.
Oh, yes, the tension filter.
The
I saw you do a thing.
Yes. And I sat on the Padam Padam chair and I saw that it was near all the rosé. And this is how nice the staff were. I was like, can I just have that magnum of rosé just for my picture? And, a lot of these places, they would say no. And they were like, yeah, of course. Do you want me to take the picture for you?
Oh.
Like, so just really friendly. And what was brilliant is, yes, the queues were long, but the room wasn't overfilled and they didn't rush you out either. So
there was no Kimberly Walsh telling you, you've got to go.
Too soon, David, just when I've agreed to do this episode. I could have stayed in there. I did stay in there as long as I want, and I didn't feel like I was rushed out. So I could have stayed in there much longer if I felt the need to. And yeah, got myself a exclusive vinyl, picked up one for one of our lovely listeners, Joe, and then picked you up a little something, which I'll hopefully be seeing you early this week for give you your belated B-Day Kylie Anne gift.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's very thoughtful of you. And I'm very glad to hear your Kylie store experience was so positive.
All I can say is like the David and Liam impact. Like I wasn't even in a monogamous relationship a few years ago.
Do you know people now call me David Anne? Like this is just something that like friends I've known for years are now calling me David Anne. Like I'm, some extension of Kylie and Jessica Anne Simpson.
Look, David, if you've impacted my life so much of now I'm obsessed with the Minogues, I'm obsessed with Bardot, Mariah, obsessed with Young Divas, Scandalous. The least you can have is David Anne.
David Anne Lim. Well, cheers. So speaking of obsessed, today is, this group. We're coming back to one of our big loves. So cheers to you, darling.
Cheers to you.
And to our girls. You drinking Kylie wine?
I'm not drinking Kylie wine today, but before anyone berates me, I did buy the magnum of Kylie Anne Rosé at the store. So, and in the office, they have Kylie Prosecco every Friday because of me.
Bloody hell.
So I'm there doing the legwork for Kylie Anne, which means every now and then someone's just got to buy the little specials, to even it out.
Just imagine your company expenses. It's just like Kylie, 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 Kylie.
It's media purchase necessities, research. Also, our followers berate me when I post rosé that isn't Kylie. They're like, but what about Kylie?
Yeah, how dare you? love it. Okay, so JB, speaking of sexy yes, 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 your little reference earlier, shall we read a little 5-star review?
Absolutely. And this is synergy. I wrote your intro before I saw that review. So. Oh.
Okay, so this one is left by Fergalicious Brats. Iconic username.
Sounds like kind of a synonym, like one of us has just gone on and left ourselves a review, but we promise we haven't.
If I see David Ann Lim in here somewhere, I'll know it's you. Anyway, this one goes sexy. Yes, yes, yes. This podcast is a masterpiece. The second coming and everything people with taste wanted.
Ooh. I mean, that's the review quote there. That's
going
the
on the poster.
Quote.
Yeah, it's going on the sticker in the front of the CD. Adore the pod and always waiting for new episodes. As I was born on the exact same day the Spice Girls released Forever, tragically, I missed out on too many pivotal cultural resets when they were actually happening. So massive thanks, love and kisses, for not just talking about the brilliant body of works from pop goddesses, but also providing cultural background and your own experiences. All these certainly immerse you into that magical era of naughty noughties and helps to appreciate it even more. Also, I really hope for a No Angels episode. There was such a European pop royalty, but sadly, they are a bit forgotten. Anyways, all the best for you and the pod. P.S. Kimber's impersonation is iconic and should be in every episode, as well as JB's CV.
Well, it's at the top of my CV. Special skills, Kimberly Walsh. Hopefully she'll make an appearance or two today. Who knows? Thank you, Fergalicious Brats. Now, also, they are a wee baby born on the release date of Forever. Wow. Is 23 Gen Z, or is that...
Could be like at the edge of millennial.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm taking that as we've made it with Gen Z.
We're crossing over to a new market. It's our Padam era.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we really have to... Maybe they're learning about the 2000s at school these days and people have come across us.
And to bring it up, our podcast for curriculum.
We could do an assembly tour. Well, thank you so much, Fergalicious Brats. If you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a glorious 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us at Right Back Pod. Hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Get us booked for that assembly.
All right, JB, are you ready for this? Because I'm ready. Like, we're talking about my favorite Girls Aloud album today. I think this is peak Girls Aloud era. Like, this was the time where... You know, our girls have become pros. They've earned their divaship. They are a force of nature in the industry. And I think all that success is finally turning the perception that now people are giving them their flowers. We're starting to see great critical acclaim for the girls. It's a really exciting era to get into for Girls Aloud.
Absolutely. And as we've kind of spoken about before on this podcast, I think we even mentioned it in our last Girls Aloud episode, this is the point where I did tap out as a fan. So
after Kimberly told you, I think you need to go.
Now, look, everyone, that isn't the direct correlation specifically. So I just want everyone to please be respectful to Kim because she's on a throne to me and I adore her. So I don't want anyone thinking otherwise. But it has been such a joy for me to truly take everything in. And we have, you know, veteran fan of this album here with you. And then kind of, it's like a brand, more like a brand new body of work for me.
Wow.
And it's been such a joy to take it in. And I completely agree of seeing them and being like, wow, you know, everything come together and be leveled up, which I'm so sure we will say a million times in this episode, but.
Yeah.
Very excited to get into all of it and more today.
Now, today we're going all the way back to 2007, and it's completely unplanned. I know our last episode, Victoria Beckham Coming to America, was the same time. You know, the girls had just embarked on their third headline tour, the Greatest Hits Tour. They've now had 3 successful albums and the Greatest Hits, which became their very first number one here in the UK. Earlier that year, they had a number one hit with our other girls and faves, Sugar Babes. So 2007 looking very, very bloody good for Girls Aloud. And also, this was the year the Spice Girls reunited. So we're really getting that kind of like, oh my God, the legends are back in their hemisphere. And we've got Girls Aloud, stronger than ever.
Wow. It was 2000s peak pop culture for British pop music. It's so interesting because I never think of a possibility of Girls Aloud and Spice Girls being around at the same time. You know, even the reunion, they're just very separate in my mind. Watching back the interviews of this era, the Spice Girls reunion is brought up so often and frequently to the girls. Maybe the return of the Spice Girls was enough of a distraction for me to not come back.
At this stage as well, Girls Aloud is finally starting to get the kind of kudos. Cool indie bands like Franz Ferdinand were reaching out to the girls. You know, around this time, Radio 1 had their 40th anniversary compilation album, and Franz Ferdinand tapped Xenomania to produce a David Bowie cover, and they got Girls Aloud to sing background on it. Also, we've grown up, so to speak, with these girls. They're now young women. On a personal level, we're starting to see the girls branch out a little bit more, becoming a little bit more independent of each other as well. Al Nadine's moved out to LA at this point.
Yeah, not just Nadine, her whole family's moved out there.
Sarah's living in Camden. Nicola's got a place in Kent. You know, Cheryl and her then hubby, Ashley Cole.
Kim was still living in the original block of flats that had people like Girls Aloud living there, Sugar Babes, McFly, and Busted. She's the pro. She's like, well, I'm staying here where it's all happening.
Because of the way Xenomania and Girls Aloud create music, it's not always super autobiographical. It is inspired by the girls, of course, but reminding ourselves where they were in their lives just makes, I think, enjoying this album a little richer.
Absolutely. So, shall we move to summer 2007, David, and kick things off?
Gosh, we got a late summer release from our girls here with Sexy No No No.
I will be perfectly honest. It wasn't like an instant tap out for me with the girls. I had lost interest and teetering out. And this release cemented me departing them as a fan.
Wow.
I know it's extremely controversial and I'm quite singular in this, but this song just has never done it for me.
Really? This came out in my last year of uni. So I was like peak Girls Aloud fandom at this point. Like I was tapped in and I remember seeing this video. I think YouTube was already a thing at the time because I can't imagine how else I would have seen the video. Yeah. But that was the first time I consumed the song. It was alongside the visuals and I was shook. I was like, what is this? This is so dark. It's so like almost heavy metal.
This is the edgiest David will go.
It's so edgy, like the auto-tune vocals in the beginning. It was so dramatic.
Yeah, it was just like, what's going on? What this does say is that this is Girls Aloud Chapter 2 after our first greatest hits. And it is cooler. It is edgier. We are, you know, I know they're still in their early 20s, so it's ridiculous to say mature, but they are a little bit older. And it's leveled up, more expensive, and they needed to make a kind of different impact. They couldn't just come out with another Love Machine.
And, you know, there are like more commercially palatable songs on the album and we'll get to them. But I think having a statement piece like this was real ballsy.
This song was written by Girls Aloud and Xenomania. It's electro-punk and it incorporates a sample of the 1975 song Hair of the Dog. They did receive the band Nazareth received a writing credit for it.
I just remember like just hearing that guitar riff and I was just like, wow, this is heavy. This is real avant-garde stuff. And then, you know, you look at the single artwork and it's like a completely different vibe, isn't it?
What I do love about this era is that the singles are so cohesive with the branding, the shoot, the look. Incredibly cohesive, but then also individual to that song. the sort of big needles or whatever that are on the single cover are giving you that follow through from the music video.
For sure. I mean, you know, we've got the artwork here. The girls are in front of like a grey, plain grey backdrop. Everyone's got a white top on and like the same black trousers, but you know, they've all got scarves that are kind of accessorized in different ways. You know, Cheryl was wearing it as a headband, and Nadine's wearing it across her waist like a belt.
We, you know, we were the queens of jeans and nice top. We're now in this sort of like office manager chic era.
Love that office manager chic. Yeah, it is kind of like more serious, but also it's like more editorial, you know? And in that music video, they were all in latex cat suits. I mean, that would have been a very strong single cover image, I feel, but potentially a little too drag. Nothing wrong with that. Obviously, we love drag. But I think, you know, this is giving you a little other essence, isn't it?
So let's talk about the music video, David. So the music video directed by Trudy Bellinger, who is such a huge part of, you know, the Girls Aloud live performances. And
well, yeah, actually, she did the show music video as well. And I'll Stand By You. So, you know, they know Auntie Trudy. Auntie Trudy knows the girls.
So it's this big, expensive music video by Trudy and the girls, showing them in these black PVC cat suits, cutting to these big red flowy numbers that they're wearing.
Yeah, it's like kind of billowing and, you know, it's making them larger than life. I don't know about you, JB, but the first time I saw this, I did think it was giving the vibes of Christina Aguilera's Fighter music video.
Wow, okay.
Do you get it? Like, you know that scene of Christina
with
the big,
the
billowing skirt that's like making her look like an insect, but also like the background, the cold colours.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And then it cuts to them dancing around these sort of pins, and then they go back into the cat suits. I'm not really sure what the plot of this music video is, or even does it have a plot? Do you have an answer for that, David?
Like, what's the kind of narrative with all the pins and needles going in and all the threads? I mean, I guess it's kind of playing with Tangled Up, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they've got all the threads.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is. I think it was more about making a splashy statement with looks in this one instead of about strong narrative of such. And it really says, like, we're evolved.
Also, did you love the makeup? I mean, that opening shot of Cheryl with that Trixie Mattel style, heavy white underline and the big lashes. I was like, wow, that was, I remember the first time seeing that. I was like, this is so cool. Because it almost looks quite anime style. Mm. So cool.
It premiered on radio and then 2 days later, they performed it for the first time on T4 on the beach.
Oh, wow.
And so I tuned in to T4 on the beach on the telly. Very much like, okay, I'm here. I need to see and hear this new Girls Aloud song for the first time. And just coping with Cheryl doing this auto-tune and whatever, I was like, it's not for me.
It is a tough song to do live, I think, because it has such a specific sound to it. In a lot of these live performances of Sexy No No No, you can still hear Cheryl's original vocal with the effects and she's singing on top of it. So yeah, I think it's a tough song to pull off well live, if I'm honest. Yeah.
All the reasons why it worked is that it was a bit different for them. It was a splash is why it didn't work for me in 2007. They absolutely needed to do that. And this one, I slowly get it more and more every time I hear it.
It's not even a Girls Aloud song we hear out very much.
No, and don't get me wrong, if it came on when I was out or seeing it
before
live, I'd be loving it.
From top to bottom, I'm a woman searching. Right, by the end of this episode, we're going to convert this sexy no, no, no to a sexy yes, yes, yes.
Challenge is on. Challenge is on. As much as I still wasn't into sexy no, 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 the girls did do a fantastic set at Tifa on the beach. They premiered this. They also sung Love Machine, Something Kind of Ooh, and Biology. There were also some other fantastic performances in this era. They performed the song on the very short-lived BBC show Dance X, which I did watch every week.
I was going to ask you what that was, because I saw it for the first time yesterday. I was like, I don't know this show. Is it meant to be like a junior version of Strictly or what?
No, absolutely not. Dance X was BBC was taking elements of Strictly, X Factor, So You Think You Can Dance, Pop Stars, putting it all into one. And I think they created, this is really rusty, so bear with me. It was loosely, they were creating two groups. One group of people like ended up getting a record deal. So it was dancers, it was singer dancers that auditioned. You had to be an amazing dancer, but you also had to be a great singer as well.
Oh, wow. There was a singing element. Okay.
Yeah. And then basically like there was a band. It ended up in being a band getting a record deal. And I don't think really much ever came of them. I don't know if it's people that made the band, but one or two members of it ended up being in From Above, you know, the Daisy from S Club Junior's band.
Oh, wow. See, this is why you're tuning into Right Back Atcha. It's that kind of level of detail and recall power that the JB has, because I was not here in the country when that happened. I saw the name Danzex for the first time last night. But yes, fabulous performance from the girls. They were all in a uniform black mini dress with a GA belt on the front.
Oh, we need that.
Somebody's got to have them in their archive somewhere.
Someone get the V&A on the phone, office, honestly.
Need to do a Girls Aloud exhibition at the V&A. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. The show chairs.
And you can have one installation with that red dress with a fan underneath, so it's like the skirt is billowing just like it is in the music video.
Wow.
We're giving this away for free. I mean, come on, look at
us. Come on now.
We are available to curate.
We are. What I will give my hats off to the girls on all these performances and what we'll see on this whole album cycle, live vocals on TV, brilliant.
You know, me as an early Girls Aloud fan at this point, I wasn't super convinced about them as live vocalists, but I think as this era got on, I was like, okay, like these girls can actually pull it off. Like they, you know.
Now, why did you think that, David?
Well, I don't know
why.
They
hadn't given you a bad vocal for you to think that. You were just sort of being a sassy gay teenager.
Love that teenager, quote unquote.
Yeah, the music's good, but can they sing? To be fair, if you've had the Young Divas where they can sing and they haven't given you one bad live vocal,
the bar is pretty high down under.
The bar is high.
In Down Under High, yeah.
And at Down Under High, and Bardot also gave us fantastic live vocals, so high bar from Down Under High, as you said. Let's talk about B-side, David. The B-side on this single is Dog Without a Bone. Now, this was the first song they recorded on the recording sessions for The Sound of Girls Aloud. It's a great track to kick off just the vibe and the sessions. It's very much not a single, not an album track. It's a great, very rocky B-side.
I think it's really nice that even though Sexy No 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 is so avant-garde and so, you know, boundary pushing, they didn't shy away and try to give you something safe as the B-side. They were like, look, I'm going to shove in this rocky track in there. There are quite a lot of rock and indie influences crept in here for Girls Aloud. And I've always loved this B-side. If you're a Xenomania fan, you might recall an Annie B-side called Danny Danny, which has a very similar kind of guitar riff to this. So I think Xenomania was definitely on one with this kind of style.
Girls Aloud came back loud, proud and strong. Number 5 hit here in the UK. Number 2 in Scotland. If we are anything, it is a tribute and a stan account for the Scottish charts.
I mean, it must have been that 70s Scottish rock band sample, you know. Everyone from that band Nazareth went out and bought it, told their families and everyone.
Island 11, what were you thinking? And then also very impressively, number 17 on the Europe Euro chart Hot 100. So, David, let's move on to November 2007. Only done one single, straight in with the new album Tangled Up, a year and half a month after the Sound of Girls Aloud greatest hits.
I mean, it was like clockwork at this time with Girls Aloud releases. You know, I guess they were on this schedule of, okay, we're going to tour this part of the year and then we'll release music and promote it on that part of the year. Like, it was just this constant flow. But this is the first Girls Aloud album that we don't see the girls pictured on the cover. What do you think of that decision?
Don't get me wrong, it still looks lovely. But, you know, you're like, where are our girls?
You know, in recent times, and I don't know who told me this, it could have been someone from the industry or one of our friends having a theory about it. But I think Girls Aloud were at that stage of their career where they were starting to get more critical acclaim and kudos that they didn't want, say, non-pop fans to not pick up the CD because it looked too girly. So yeah. They went for something just very generic graphics. It's Girls Aloud in font in silver with a purple background with black lines across it. And it just says Tangled Up. So if you're a NME reader or you're a Pitchfork reader, like, you could pick this up, have this in your car, and it wouldn't look naff.
From reports of people talking about this, like, everyone thinks it set out what it needed to do. But it did get kind of like negative reviews of being a sort of boring in context and imagery. So
the Pop Justice fans weren't loving it.
But all is not lost, because we did have the Tangled Up fan edition, which was released through Girls Aloud website. That artwork incorporates each member of the girls holding onto long, thick metal wires. And that artwork is absolutely gorgeous. And hopefully, look, we've had the first Girls Aloud album reissued on vinyl. We were all hoping that is going to continue. And I hope when it gets to Tangled Up, that is the cover.
That is the one, yeah. Please.
That is given to us. So ideas for this album started in March 2007. And I love this. Each member met with Brian Higgins of Xenomania. He sat down with each member and had a good chat of them, what's been going on in their lives, their inspiration, what's been happening since they'd recorded the last album, helping this album become a little bit mature, that little bit more personal to Girls Aloud and their lives. And what all I'm thinking from this is, like, this could have been the original podcast. Like, I would, if those conversations were recorded, would love to hear those.
This is where they became more in consultation with the writing of the album and with the making of it. Also, out of all Girls Aloud albums, this took 6 months to make, which is the longest they've ever spent making a studio album. So I thought, you know what? Great luxury of time, even though it doesn't seem like that much time, because they literally just put out an album the year before. But Nadine recorded her parts in LA. It maybe took a little bit more coordinating with everyone's lives and schedules and tour and stuff. So maybe that's why it took 6 months.
Well, and yeah, just that you can feel that time and effort and energy was really put into it. And I think they said, like, their other albums took, what, a couple of weeks to record or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel the difference. You can feel, like, from looking back at interviews in this time, they'll be talking about tracks like how Hoxton Heroes gets mentioned before the album's released. And it's already being spoken about how it's too controversial to be on the album. So you can tell these tracks have sat with them for a beat, and for them to be talking about them in interviews and for them to be prominent. And then it feels like, looking back, when we get to that single that it's a B-side on, it kind of feels like you're finally getting to hear Hoxton Heroes that's been spoken about.
That B-side got more airtime than most album tracks here. So iconic.
So what I love is that Tangled Up is the group's first album to not include cover songs or traditional ballads. And honestly,
I haven't even noticed that. But you're so right.
That is gay
right. You're so right. There's no fucking covers on this. See?
Which we love.
It's so interesting. Love it. So JB, look, we decided before we hit record today that we are going to do this as just, we're running through the whole album for you guys.
This is such a monumental album. Arguably, to fans, their best album. Maybe we'll discuss that at the end of the episode. But I just think you would berate us if we didn't at least briefly touch on every single track on the album. So as you know, I'm Right Back At You, we will talk about the singles in the order they were released. So here we are just talking about album tracks. So David, shall we kick off with Close to Love, track two on the album?
Now, this one I feel is the most crowd pleasery song on the album. If you're a fan of Chemistry, this sounds like something from that universe, don't you think?
My first note is this is one of my favorites on the album. And considering Chemistry is my favorite Girls Aloud album, I guess I would have to agree. As you're saying, it is that. I mean, that makes me feel like a real local now. But it is one of the most fun up tempo ones on there. But it is absolutely one of my favorites on the album. What I specifically love Cheryl's lines, everything I ever had to lose is standing in the way of me and you. Because when she sings it and like the musicality of those few lines are such an earworm. I don't know why, but those few lines will be humming in my mind all the time. Just it's a real earworm that has lodged its way in there. And I'm very happy about it. I just think it's fabulous.
The part that I'm thinking of is... I'll confess I'm in a real big mess with a guy I love, but I can't say yes. Now my only bet is a plane ride west, because I can't regret what I ain't done yet. Make it up. Da-da-da-da-da. There are just so many like fun moments that are pieced together that you're like, wait a minute. Did all these verses happen in the same song? That's crazy.
And it is a strong as hell track two.
It sounds like a classic Girls Aloud sound that is both 80s, but also very 2000s. Like, you know, you can imagine like a Duran Duran Girls Aloud record sounding a bit like this.
We have to say, lyric check, Tangled Up is giving you the album title.
Also, gotta give a shout out to that amazing outro from Al Kim and Nicola. Man with a chemical stare, hands off. Guy with the terrible hair, back off.
Then let's cut to track four, the next album track. Girl Overboard. Straight away, the lines, is there any light on the way home? That part of the song, again, is another earworm for me. I think maybe where it is this beautifulness of Xenomania, songs doing such sharp gear changes make the song. And when it changes to that different bit that then goes round and round in your head is what helps make these songs absolutely incredible.
And I think it's Nicola who has that lyric, right? Or she has that lyric for a certain part of the song. And, you know, Nicola has a lot of range, but within the group, her kind of remit was always a kind of more tender, airy head voice kind of vocals. And when that is used at the right moment in the song, pow.
Wow, gets you.
It gets you. And obviously, this is a huge fan favorite. What's not to love about this is dramatique. It's bombastic. You know, that kind of grinding beat that is very kind of Giorgio Moroder-esque.
Wow.
But also the lyrics are so tragic. Like, we love a crying at the disco banger.
Yeah. It's kind of like the original on the Metro in a way.
It is kind of that. Like, those two are very good sister tracks. It's theatre. It's giving you drama.
That would be, if this was a video podcast, that would have then been a reaction gif, David Lim. It's theatre. It's like when I post whatever, like, about Clitter and it's that guy. To me, that's cinema. That would be you. It's theatre, darling. This is another absolute favourite of mine off the album. I am now wondering who I can sue for damages of the loss of not being able to enjoy this album since it was released in 2007. I think this could have been a single and should have been a single. We only had three singles in this album era cycle. We could have had a lot more. To me, this should have been one.
I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but JB, if this was the first single instead of Sexy No No No, you would have stayed on the chat, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have logged off.
I would have been a girl on board, not a girl overboard. I think if this had been a single, in the way that the videos in this album cycle are so editorial, we could have had a really expensive, glamorous, but comedic music video with the girls.
Comedic?
With the girls on a lavish yacht.
Sexy with a life jacket.
We could have maybe had like nods to the Goldie Hawn film Overboard, or just some kind of hijinks with these girls on a big yacht.
My concept for this video, I think, would be very editorial. Them in front of like a giant projector screen with different graphics that look like they're falling through air. But the girls are like suspended. I mean, I know Nadine would be like, no, thank you. I'm doing all my scenes on the ground.
Suspended?
May. If humans were made to fly, we wouldn't be walking.
Don't you think that would be better for Kimberly or Sarah or someone, but not May? Fabulous. Shall we move on to the next track? Black Jacks. Now, David, this was originally recorded for Chemistry.
I can hear it.
What's your interpretation of New York nothing, come and get stuck in, won't you come rock in, because I got a feel.
I don't even know what's going on here.
I think maybe the New York nothing could be like, if Chemistry was a Girls in London concept album, maybe they're saying, you know, you want to go to New York, it's got nothing on London, come and make it here. Now, Black Jacks, do the chorus lyrics again for me.
There's blackjacks running down my back and I say stop, because I love you, baby. I fight hard and blue with you. When I'm down, I say blackjacks running down my back and I say stop. I was like, what is it? What is blackjacks? Is it a spider? Is it like the fear? Oh, we know about the fear. What I really do love about this song is verse one, Nadine giving that really yearning classic opening, there's something that I want to say to you, and jumping in your face just wouldn't do, because summer in the sun don't pay.
Summer in the sun don't pay means get your ass up and work, honey. As much as we'd all love to spend the entire season in Greece, which I want to somehow do next year.
Listen, I'll be texting you that lyric and I see you going on another Greece holiday when we should be recording.
Being in Greece, all I'm like is, I could bring my laptop and mic here. We could churn out so much more. Let's move on to the next album track, Control of the Knife. This is just such a real vibe.
Oh, I love this one. And it's so unexpected on the album because I think Black Jacks has that kind of stomping quality to it in some parts. And then you go straight away into like a reggae rhythmic track. I think musically as well, it's just kind of nice to have that kind of more warm rhythmic flow to the album, because a lot of these tracks are quite rock, indie. It's just nice to have a bit of a wiggle, you know. I bet this was probably Cheryl's favorite as well, because she does this on tour with Trick Me, doesn't she? She does the Khalees bit in the
so
middle of this.
I was going to talk about this when we get to the tour, but let's talk about it now as it's come up. I feel like, you know how like Nicola did Memory of You as a B-side?
Yeah.
I feel like if Cheryl wanted to do non-single Girls Aloud, this would be a lovely B-side for Cheryl, or a like Girls Aloud album track to work into her live show.
This is such a Cheryl song. You could just feel it. Like, I just think she shines on this song. You're keeping control of the knife, but I'm not your darling.
I'm not your darling.
It's keeping me cold in the nights, but honey, you're starving. All I can hear is like the kind of da 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 da.
I take it all back. It needs to be on DL3. That's what it needs to be on. So let's move on from DL3 to maybe JB3.
Oh.
Fling. I think this is fabulous. It's sort of classic Girls Aloud, but in this new part of Girls Aloud that we're in, it to me sounds a little bit similar to Money, but a bit rockier. I love Sarah's like raspy, rocky vocal when she sings her lines.
Yeah, I do love it when she comes in on this song. But, you know, it's that combination, that back and forth of Nadine and Sarah, like when they're together giving like turbocharged vocals.
Yeah, let's level up, girls.
Oh, it's very electric. Let me tell you, the first time I heard this album, this was on very high rotation.
Really?
This and Girl Overboard, instant favorites. Because if you loved something kind of ooh, that kind of energy that's very in your face, that's like pun juice with the Prosecco flowing, this is the song for you, honey.
I got a track for you, honey. Get a bottle popped open. It's just a fling, baby, fling, baby.
Who's that hottie over there? I thought it was so empowering as well, the lyrics. It's just like, I don't want a relationship. I just want to swing, baby. Like
gay rights.
Way ahead of the curve.
Grinder anthem.
So I was seeing people in relationships a lot and I was like, oh God, you know, I would love a boyfriend. I would love to just settle down, have a partner. But that was kind of where my headspace was at that time this album came out. But now...
He wants a bit of ding-a-ling.
I just want a bit of ding-a-ling, baby. So this song is like resonating hard for me now. I remember listening to a podcast where Miranda Cooper talked about making this album and, you know, obviously all the Girls Aloud stuff, but I think she was more talking about this era onwards. It was like a lot of the kind of conversation she was having with the girls was about being women in the music industry, but also like growing up as women, you know, kind of stuff they were facing in relationships and societal expectations on women. So I think when you're listening to this album, these lyrics are all strong. It's all from a perspective of feisty young women.
Like the people, the audience that listens to this album are people that want to have an empowered fling. Just a little bit of ding-a-ling, baby. So, David, I don't like to see you upset, but what are you crying for? What you looking for?
In revisiting this album for today's episode, this is the one that really jumped out at me because...
Really?
Yeah, I haven't heard this song in such a long time. And I think it sounds just as fresh as anything that could come out today because we're in the middle of a drum and bass revival right now. A lot of the girls are doing it. So I think if this dropped as a single tomorrow by Becky Hill with, say, Betty Boo and Rudimental.
Wow. Okay.
New Music Friday, number one, number two slot on Spotify.
Wow.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah. All right. So I love that. I didn't even think of drum and bass. Considering how Sound of the Underground has those drum and bass elements, it's interesting that we don't really see it again. From Sound of the Underground being released as this edgy track, they clinged onto more the edgy rock element as opposed to the edgy drum and bass feel.
But also drum and bass probably had gone out of fashion. Everything was all indie by this point, so I kind of get it. But I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that flavor all these years of listening to the album. But I think, you know, I'm coming up to 10 years of living in London, so my ears might have changed a little, and
he's
more...
a London boy now.
I think I have just more appreciation and more fondness for drum and bass, jungle, garage music.
Yeah.
The garage in it.
David, you say in it much more than I do. Just a bit of ting-a-ling in it. So a bit of garage, a bit of drum and bass, beyond Sound of the Underground and beyond this, a bit more from the girls would have been so fab.
As I was saying before, I think a lot of these kind of sessions were maybe inspired from their conversations as women in the industry. And the way I read the lyrics of this song is kind of like the girls taking down a guy who hasn't really done anything with his life, but he's always had the privilege and the access. Boy, what you looking for when the world's in the palm of your hand? And what's the crying for about the lows in your life that you've never had? You're being over the top. You've not really had it hard. Get a grip.
Yeah, you straight man.
But that's how I read the lyrics. You know, it's not definitive, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Fabulous. I love that. Thank you for that insight, David and Liam. So then let's move on to the next track we have, I'm Falling. Now, this is the When I Was Young, I Wanted to Be a Punk Rocker.
When I was young, I wanted to be a punk rocker. But everybody said no. And I was sure that if I ever had a shotgun, the same old folks would say go. It wasn't the lack of passion.
And again, the lyrics... there's that feminist energy coming through again, you know. When I was young, I wanted to be a punk rocker, but everybody said no. And I was sure that if I ever had a shocker, which I think is code word for dick, the same old folks would say go.
Ah. Wow, that is powerful.
I'm very surprised by how much we hear Al Kim in this.
I'm not. I always want more Kim.
But I just didn't think we would get this kind of performance style out of Kim. It was a cool character for her to play.
Mm. What someone needs to cast Kimberly Walsh in is like a rock musical.
So, well, like Rock of Ages.
No. No. I mean, yeah.
You know, your colleague Joey said that you sound Aussie, and it's probably because of...
yeah, it is because of you. When we started working with it, he's like, are you from... Australia? And I was like, no.
No.
No. But I'm still waiting for my certificate of honorary Australian to come through. In musical theatre, David, we have things that are called rock operas. Now, that is a musical that is sung straight through, but it's sort of more of a musical theatre rock as opposed to just straight up musical theatre. And I think Kim would just soar in that because you can still be very musical theatre, but she can add that pop rock twang that she has in her background.
Is it like a bat out of hell? Like, I'm trying to find a reference that I would know.
They're all sort of like jukebox musicals in a way. Like, imagine if it was like a Rock of Angels or a Bat of Hell, but it was new work. So it wasn't whatever artist musical or a jukebox musical, but it was just something new, edgy and cool. Starring Kimberly Walsh.
I'd be really into that.
Let's move on to the next track, Damn. In the words of Al Daniel Jane, I wasn't expecting this at all. Now, this is a real, to me, classic-sounding GA album track. It feels like the Racey Lacey of Tangled Up.
Love to see, like, I don't know if the girls did this at the time, but if they did a kind of showcase with a live band, like, not, you know, the usual kind of Girls Aloud pop production with choreography and all that necessarily, but it was just like a band.
Mm.
They could have done a few songs of the album. This is one of them, you know, just to like see what this would be like on like a more indie presentation.
Yeah, they did do Girls Aloud live at the local, but I don't think they performed this as part of it, unfortunately. But yeah, I think that would have been real good. Like, imagine a great way to kick off this album. Inviting press and a few super fans to Moth Club we're going to perform the album in full with a band.
Oh my God, that would have been so cool. But I guess, you know, Girls Aloud was straddling both worlds at the time. They were fabulous pop stars, very big A-list pop girlies.
I like to think that we live in a world of music full stop now where kind of anything goes and there's a lot less shame around stuff and there's stuff out there for everyone. You can be like, yeah, cool, I loved that sugary pop track and I loved that death metal track, like, and there'd be a lot less judgment around it. I know Girls Aloud get a lot of credit, but I think we don't credit them enough in terms of their legacy and their 10 active years probably really did do a lot to help how we are now. Those doors open in pop and I guess it's part of getting older as well, but it's like, I don't just sit there and think about the genre. It's just like music's music. You like it or exactly. You don't. It's there to be enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly. And we all listen to stuff now that's like of different languages, from artists from all over the world. You know, we have such great access to so many different kinds of music and different artists constantly now that it's like, it's not a thing. Like, if you like it, you like it. So, but yeah, it's so interesting to think of what this album, how this album would be received if it was released today. Mm. So JB, shall we move to the final album track? Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Crocodile Tears. Now, David, the meaning of crocodile tears is tears are expressions of sorrow that are insincere.
I just think it's such a great song title as well. You know you're in for a treat if a song's called Crocodile Tears. You're going to get some biting lyrics.
Now, we also have to say, David, this is the second of two songs that Girls Aloud co-wrote on the album. So they co-wrote Sexy No 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 and they co-wrote Crocodile Tears. I would love any of the five girls, if they fancied rocking up somewhere with a guitar and singing this track, I think it would lend to all five of them.
An acoustic performance of this would have been so cool. I love the way the song opens up, the emotional guitar chords, and it goes into kind of like a wistful indie kind of production. And it's nice that this closes the album because Call the Shots open the album, and it's also got kind of a wistful kind of vibe. It feels a bit full circle.
I think the album should have ended in the order of Damn, Crocodile Tears, and Then I'm Falling. But I do love the way you've said the opening and closing of Call the Shots and this. So I'm potentially happy to redact that.
It's your opinion, darling.
I know, but I just love the insight that you've brought to me and you've changed my life.
With Crocodile Tears, you actually get each girl holding down their own verse. So you get to spend more time hearing them have a solo.
And I love that. So it's kind of like one of the only linear times in Girls Aloud that we'd hear that.
Even from the beginning with Sound of the Underground, it was always spliced, you know. Whoever sang that line the best gets it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the Xenomania way of working, as we know from the alternate mixes and everything that we have now.
And also, really rare, we don't hear a Nadine solo on this track. It's the other four that really take charge.
She's busy in LA.
She was layering her vocals in the chorus. And also we get that kind of signature Sarah Harding rock verse where she's giving you a bit more of the rasp and the energy. Yeah. And I'm giving it up, I'm never dealing it out. I gotta stop dreaming away now. Cry, cry, crocodile, crocodile tears.
Well done, girls. Well done, Brian. Well done, Miranda. Well done, everyone at Xenomania. Well done, everyone at Fascination. Well done, Peter. And we'd love to hopefully hear it on vinyl within the next few years with the gorgeous fan-demanded artwork.
If you didn't hear it before, we're going to say it again. Our preference for the artwork is not the one without the girls. But that's a strong underline, not.
But don't worry. Regardless, our card details will be entered the second a pre-release is out there. Get ready for your websites to crash from the pop community. So, Devo, this album was a hit. Number 4 here in the UK, number 4 in Scotland. Ireland, what were you thinking?
Oh, here we go.
25. Get yourself back on RTE and plug this album, would you, Nadine Coyle? Honestly. But yes, look, 25 is still very respectful, but we love that number 4 smash hit here in the UK and in Scotland.
On the charts, when Girls Aloud were number 4, Leona Lewis, Westlife, Catherine Jenkins were in the places ahead of them. So think about this album that we just discussed. Once again, thank God for Girls Aloud bringing that excitement. But also what was interesting is Spice Girls' greatest hits came out the week before.
So what we can say is that Girls Aloud were really, that week, number 1 in the up-tempo pop charts and number 3 in the overall charts, because we will take our other two girlies and we'll leave it there.
Yeah, we won't mention that group.
They've done enough to the girls, both the girls and the girls.
Literally, yeah. We're not even going to give them the time or the airspace, sorry. But interesting to note, Tangled Up stayed on the UK album charts for 47 weeks. This is the longest charting studio album by Girls Aloud. Their greatest hits is the only one that stayed on the charts longer. That was 55 weeks. So,
and was that Sound of Girls Aloud or 10?
Sound of Girls Aloud, not 10. 10 didn't stay on the charts nearly as long. But I guess at that time, by the time 10 came out, I think
music industry and sales were different.
Exactly. Things have changed. But yeah, fucking hell, 47 weeks on the charts.
That's nearly a year.
People were buying it even without seeing Girls Aloud on the cover. Or maybe that's why they bought it. They're like, oh, you know, me and the lads getting a copy of Girls Aloud.
We do like to put that one on in the car.
Just a bit of ding-a-ling in it, mate. Hashtag no homo.
So it was platinum here in the UK and gold in Ireland. And it was diamond on David's LimeWire household chart.
LimeWire, JB, I imported this from the UK. It wasn't released in Australia.
Wow, number 1 on the Down Under High import charts. We love to see it. Also, what we must say before we leave the album completely is if you bought this album at Woolies, you could get the Girls Aloud Mixed Up CD for a special price, and then on streaming and digital it is released as a 38 minute long bonus track. Now this is a mashup mix of Girls Aloud tracks overseen by Jules and Stone, but it's respective tracks interwoven in there from different remixes.
I haven't listened to the full mix.
What do you do in the shower for 38 minutes then, David?
Now, when you're listening on streaming services, it just says Tangled Up Deluxe, and that mix is at the end of the album for you.
Now, Tangled Up can take you all from starting, getting in the shower, getting ready for night out. By the time you've got to Mixed Up, the girls are over for drinks. 38 minutes. Get that Uber booked. Get yourself down to 2 Brewers. So, along that in November, the girls also released the Get the Girls Aloud Style DVD. It features commentary from the girls, like sort of talking through their outfits from all the music videos. And then each girl has their own segment. So Cheryl talks about makeup. Nadine talks about shoes. Kim talks about internet shopping, which is infamous. That's the one clip I have seen.
I need to look up this clip.
If you're going to go shopping online, don't give your password to anyone. Not to your mom, not to your sister.
She was giving out internet safety advice. Absolutely. I mean, bless, that is so our Kim.
My first tip is always compare prices on the different websites before you buy. Never tell anyone your password for your online account, not even your friends or your sisters. Don't tell anyone. Make sure you've got permission to use the person's credit card if you're under 18. Always watch out for additional charges. Just be careful.
And then you have Nicola giving you tips for perfect jeans and Sarah on accessories.
Jeans and a nice top.
Jeans and a nice top, you're done. Thanks for watching Girls Aloud Style. And then you have all the Girls Aloud music videos from Sound of the Underground up to Sexy No No No, including Walk This Way. And it has optional commentary from Cheryl and Sarah talking about the outfits.
Wow.
So that's good bang for your buck and a good...
I think it's really good bang for the buck. Wow. And I will be on eBay the second this call ends. I don't even have anything to play it on now, but I just need to have it.
And regardless, it's a great Q4 stocking filler release. So especially if you're like, well, I've got my Janice, the Girls Aloud album. I've got them mixed up. I just need one more thing to get. Girls Aloud Style DVD.
Yeah, old Janine's really into fashion, isn't she? Yeah, she like a bit of it.
But she's not going to read a book.
No one reads a book these days, Sandra. You know that. It's all about the DVDs.
So let's get her a DVD. Yeah. And that was at number 11 on the DVD, on the UK music DVD chart, so...
Wow, not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. We don't. Let's move on, Davo, to Call the Shots, November 2007. Just close your eyes.
JB, let's start with the artwork. The minute I saw this, I was shook. Already the title, Call the Shots, you're thinking director, but the girls have put a spin on it. It's like they're playing on the word call. They're all with the telephones, with the telephone cords coming down from the ceiling wrapped around their bodies. For our young listeners, that is called a landline telephone. This artwork is... genuinely one of the best of Girls Aloud's discography, I would say.
And I love that on one version of the CD, it has Nicola holding a telephone. And the proprietary of a telephone is just chef's kiss to me.
I wish I had both CD versions of this. I think I've only got one. I need to check my shelf. The next single we talk about, I have both versions. But let's talk about this wistful banger.
This song is incredible.
Did it almost bring you back into the fandom?
No, I was just
JB,
gone.
You were stubborn. You were stubborn. Girls Aloud were calling on that rotary phone and you weren't picking up.
Weren't picking up. Let it ring. I've already been told that I have to go. Let it bloody ring. But I love it now. Like, it is... I would say this is possibly and probably a top three Girls Aloud single.
No, I would go that far as well, yeah. I think it's because Sugar Babes had their Change album the same year. There's a song on it called Never Gonna Dance Again, which is like one of my favorite Sugar Babes album tracks, again by Xenomania. By the time I heard Call the Shots, I was like, oh my God, they're sisters. Like, these two songs are... sisters.
It was a treat for David. He was already looking up, like, how to get here. So while Change was out, we've got to remember that this single was originally recorded to potentially be the lead single of Sound of Girls Aloud Greatest Hits. So therefore, Xenomania and probably Fascination and Girls Aloud already had this in mind to be a single. You know, we spoke about Sound of Girls Aloud. It needed something up tempo and fun and a celebration. I think then this album needed to launch with something very different, which is why Sexy No 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 needed to be the first single. But I'm sure there was no doubt in anyone's mind that this was always going to be the second single.
Yes, like talk about having an ace in your pocket. If you only know Girls Aloud for their singles, this could be quite a change. You know, it's a more mature direction. Is it a song about longing? Is it a song about moving on? The girls are like not showing any... weakness here. It's just they're holding their own. It's like, I don't give a damn what you do with your time. It really doesn't faze me. Do you have a favorite part of this song?
Yes, I do, David. Thank you so much for asking. When you're speaking of wistful pop, the Nicola section,
I've seen life burn bright, seen it shimmer.
Seen it shimmer.
A fade like starlight to a glimmer.
To a glimmer.
Wasn't this... Oh, yeah, this was the verse that became the title of their book, right?
Which is part of the next album cycle.
So we'll talk about it then, guys. But yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree, JB. That part is a real standout. But also, Nadine and Sarah's parts, I won't cry for all the hunger in my heart. I won't cry because I've made it through this far. It's like, yes, we are tough girlies. We've got this.
So let's talk about this gorgeous music video, David. So it's directed by Sean Desparango and features the girl in purple dresses on the Malibu beach with flames and white fabric surrounding them. I would say that this video is stunning and it's giving editorial.
Well, speaking of your favorite Nicola verse, that bit where she's by the pool looking at her reflection, singing that.
Cinema.
It's like Shakespearean.
There are two standout moments for me in the music video. One is... get that product endorsement, girls. Nadine with the Samsung F20 purple phones for you collaboration. One missed call.
JB, now that you've said that, it all makes sense why this video was what
it was.
They're
all in purple.
They're all in purple because the phone was purple. And the whole point of this product was that purple, and I read this in a press release, purple's a luxurious color.
Also... do you think that's why they had money to go to LA?
Exactly.
We've got money!
It's phones for you money there. I think all the girls fancied a trip out there to go to Nadine's Irish Mist. Also, another moment for me that I really want to shout out is this is the first time we're seeing Sarah's iconic new haircut.
Wow.
I mean, I don't even know how to describe this. This is helmet-esque.
It's blunt fringe, long dippy bits.
Dippy bits on the side. We're not going to say sideburns because they kind of curve into her cheekbones.
No, and because they're like sexy as F, like because they're Sarah Harding.
Imagine being Sarah Harding, where you can pull off any haircut.
Like, it's not fair. But speaking of Sarah, that's my other favourite bit of the video, is Sarah sort of like peeking on her man in the shower.
Oh my God.
And that face, she sort of has like a...
you're naked?
Which is also like what I feel like was like young me glancing at the men on the underwear boxes when you shouldn't be, when no one's looking. You're like... so there were some fabulous live performances of this song, David, weren't there?
2008's V Festival, when the girls were doing Call the Shots, Nadine has that infamous encounter with a wasp.
A wasp?
And you can see her like swatting it. It was so funny because like...
so wait, hang on. So that's the V Festival, that's the extension of the tour we are going to talk about, right?
Yeah, the following year.
Which I'm only now putting the dots together. I saw Girls Aloud at that V Festival.
You didn't see the wasp?
I don't recall the cameo from the wasp. But also being in the audience and whatever, you're going to realise that a lot less than being watching it on TV. So Davo... this song was awarded the coveted Pop Justice £20 Music Prize in 2008. And Pop Justice writer Peter Robinson deemed it as the greatest pop song of the 21st century. Two brilliant B-sides on this track, David. One is the live lounge cover of Amy Winehouse's Rehab. And then we have Blow Your Cover, which kind of gives electro, McFly, but also early Girls Aloud sounding B-side to me.
Yeah, it's not a prominent B-side to me, but, you know, I think in this time, I think a lot of artists were starting to not give us B-sides, so it's really fun to get these extra tracks in from our girls.
What's very impressive is that it did really well on the charts, being released in November. In such a busy time in the music industry, it managed to stay in the top 10 throughout the Christmas period and the Christmas chart week. It peaked here in the UK at number 3, number 4 in Scotland, number 9 in Ireland, 9 on the Eurochart Hot 100, and 38 in Romania. Thank you, Seb, for picking up or importing a copy. In December 2007, David, Girls Aloud made their film debut.
Is this Centrinians?
St. Trini Huns, yes. So St. Trinians was released in December 2007, and Girls Aloud cameoed. Interestingly, Al Sarah then did have a more prominent role in the second film. We then have, in March to April 2008, the ITV2 series, The Passions of Girls Aloud, which was filmed in 2007, shows 4 out of the 5 girls achieving something they've always wanted to do. Nadine tapped out. She said, "Why would I do anything that isn't promoting Girls Aloud or our album?" And honestly, I guess fair enough.
I mean, we'll get into it at some point, Passions of Girls Aloud. But what I said at the start of the episode, we're seeing the women of Girls Aloud becoming more independent of each other, kind of carving their own lanes. I didn't realize it was this album cycle, to be honest with you, JB. I thought it was the next album.
It wasn't.
But it was like, it's a perfect bridge between the two, because it was like, we're getting to know these women as individuals, and who, what do they stand for? What do they want to do? So interesting timing.
So David, a statement about me is that I can't speak French. Also, the third and final single from the Tangled Up album in March 2008. I can't speak French, so I'll let the funky music do the talking, talking now. Oh, I can't speak French, so I'll let the funky music do the talking. Oh, 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 I can't speak French, so I'll let the...
I think this is one of Girls Aloud's most lasting UK radio songs. Like, this still gets played to this very day.
Maybe even out of all of them, this is the one I had the fondest feeling towards, even in a time when I didn't have a Stan card.
It was kind of like the perfect bridge to the more commercial world, where it was like, okay, that kind of jazzy guitar with a bit of a swing beat.
Even if you're not tapped into the world of pop or loving pop, you think, oh, that's quite a funny lyric, but in a way that gets you into the song as well. Florence and the Machine recorded a live cover of this track, Davo.
What? How have I never heard this?
Yeah, Flori Mash, she was like, I can't speak French either, so...
Get it, Flozza Welch, yeah.
Brian Higgins said that this is perhaps the easiest Girls Aloud single they made. So there were many options for a Girls Aloud third single, Close to Love, Girl Overboard, and Control the Knife, but Can't Speak French was confirmed in early January. There was a Passions mix to be used as the theme tune for The Passions of Girls Aloud, which premiered in the same calendar month as the single release. So we love that synergy.
The best thing about Can't Speak French is the visuals. They really went to town with that.
This video and routine is giving the Marie Antoinette cinematic version of Biology.
It's so Biology-esque, isn't it? I actually thought for
Especially that routine.
I really thought for a sec it was the same director.
So while we're talking about that, let's quickly talk about the artwork, David.
I have both of them on my shelves, which is like such a thrill.
We have Sarah on that like merry-go-round horse or whatever it's called in the middle. We've got feathers. We've got Cheryl's holding a fan. Kimberly's holding a feathered fan. If there's anything we love as gay men and pop music fans, is a physical fan to use and play with. And then there's another version of the cover where it's Nadine and Cheryl on the horses. So there's a few different covers going around there, but all really strong visuals. There were some fabulous performances with this single, David. Most notably for me is the Anton Deck Saturday Night Takeaway performance, which gave us full costume, staging, yes, and dancers.
It really was a concerted effort visually. Like, when we're doing Can't Speak French, we got to do the Marie Antoinette thing. Like, it was so consistent throughout.
This is it.
Very K-pop in a way. You know, the way K-pop girlies like go about promoting an era or a concept. They pick a theme, they stick with it, and that's the photo shoot. That is the music video. That is the live performance.
So let's speak about B-sides, shall we, for this track, David Lim?
You guys have been waiting for this one. We've mentioned it a few times already, but Hoxton Heroes is the B-side on Can't Speak French. Arguably one of Girls Aloud's most famous B-sides. This is, of course, the indie pop track that the girls are having a bit of a dig at blokes in indie bands. That kind of snobbiness, and it's kind of like, listen, mate, you think you're that cool, but we've sold more records than you, so don't fuck with us.
Queen Miranda Cooper said, we've written a song called Hoxton Heroes. Me and the girls got on an amazing rant taking the piss out of the whole indie scene. And Al Kim went on to say, they say that we're a manufactured band, but they're just as manufactured. The song was deemed too controversial for the album, which is why it ended up being a B-side. And our queen, Nicola Roberts, said that the song wasn't aggressive enough. So Nicola would like to have gone in harder.
She could have gone in harder. I mean, some of the lyrics, which were so widely reported at the time, was, I don't know your name. You're just another band with a different game. You're all the same. You said you played at Reading, then you charted at 57. It's so cocky. I love it.
And I think they're the only, at this time, kind of the only mainstream pop act that could do it in that way, because they are that pop act that was being covered on T4 and Top of the Pops, but also in NME.
But also Arctic Monkeys were covering them. They had that kudos, so they were kind of adjacent to that world.
Sugar Babes were already seen as a little bit more cooler. And if they had done it, I think it would have just been perceived as bitchy, which shouldn't be. But I think that's how it would have been taken. Whereas Girls Aloud, everyone would be like, all right then, girls. Like, so other B-sides on this single were
you literally, je ne parle pas français. Part of the lyrics were in French, part of it in English. I mean, you got to do it. That was a no-brainer.
There was an interview on T4. They just performed the song, and then Steve on T4, the presenter at the time, went, and when is the song coming out in France? Like, trying to take the piss. And Cheryl goes, I think it's soon.
Might take a few days for the CD to reach.
And then we also have the Robin Live Lounge cover of With Every Heartbeat, which again is a stunning live cover from Girls Aloud. I Can't Speak French peaked at number 9 here in the UK, which is very respectful when the album has been out since the end of last year. This is March the following year. Number 3 in Scotland. Again, we continue to have our fully fledged stand card for the Scottish charts. Number 12 in Ireland.
No French chart positions, I see.
No French chart positions at this time, because they can all speak French. Next up for the girls, David, is May till August 2008. The girls embark on their Tangled Up tour.
35 dates on this tour. This concert DVD, JB, was the first Girls Aloud DVD I ever bought.
Wow.
Import, obviously, because, you know, we didn't get that at JB Hi-Fi down under. I think aside from the 10 tour, which is immaculate, this is probably the second most watched Girls Aloud concert for me.
Interesting, interesting. This was very recently shown on BBC Two. And it felt like such an unprompted event. It wasn't hugely publicised. And it just felt like Pop Twitter had such a brilliant time watching this show. And it was an at-home event. And it felt like we were all watching it together. I was so impressed, David. It was the first time I'd ever seen this. And I agree with you in terms of, I'm saying, is it possibly their best tour? I haven't seen the 10 tour yet. I'm on this journey as a fresh audience member.
You've not seen the 10 tour?
And I've seen the clips and the odd visual, but I'll be fully ingesting it for when we get there. Everything here is so leveled up and the synergy between the girls is amazing. Just they are showing that they are such veterans of the industry at this point.
Also, before you go further in a tour, when I was at All Points East, I ran into one of our listeners who came up to me and said that he loves the podcast and he used to be in a boy band. And I was instantly captivated and very intrigued. And he's like, I feel you guys are going to talk about our group hopefully soon because we supported Girls Aloud on their Tangled Up tour.
Wow. And
God, I did not even know that was a boy band that opened for them on tour. But this lovely gentleman, Jazz, is part of a group called Billium. And they opened for Girls Aloud. So hi, Jazz, if you're listening.
Wow. Hello, Jazz of Billium. Two top 40 hits Billium had. That is bloody phenomenal.
Not everybody has that.
No, their first single in at 32 and the second in at 23. That is bloody amazing. Hello, Jazz. Let us know what it was like to be part of the Tangled Up tour experience. That is absolutely incredible. Beyond Billium, we also had the Saturdays, David.
Wasn't this the first live kind of tour situation for the Saturdays?
So this was the real big intro to the Saturdays, to the industry. We were being told by industry professionals, rumors were rife within our college that Girls Aloud was splitting up and the label was priming the Saturdays to take over their slot.
I mean, I think there's been stuff said and, you know, we've done a Saturdays episode, so feel free to go back and listen to that. But I think it was said at the time that Girls Aloud were getting so many offers and opportunities that they couldn't do everything or not everything was necessarily right for them to do at that point in their careers. So it made sense to have like a junior group take full advantage of these opportunities, so which is why the Saturdays came about.
Before we talk about highlights of this show, David, Taylor Swift is shook. This was released in cinemas, David, due to the
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Due to the success of this tour, it was filmed at the O2 Arena on the 17th of May 2008 and was shown live at 50 view cinemas across the UK.
I mean, people are doing it now with pop concerts, but it's so cool to see Girls Aloud were doing that in 2008.
Let's jump into this amazing show that the girls put out there and our highlights. I just want to say really up top that Sarah, this is her show. What a vivacious, incredible performer.
It was really interesting rewatching it last night. It really hit me hard that Sarah is going to be so missed on that stage. It really got me for some reason. I was like, wow, like our girl really made her mark and we're not going to see that Girls Aloud stage again. And that for me was like hard. This is a great tour for Sarah Harding.
She was born to be on that stage. I'm so thankful that Sarah Harding got to live out this dream so excellently and then got to share it with all of us. So cheers to Sarah, as always.
Cheers to Sarah.
So let's get into this amazing show. But we have to kick off with that incredible opening, David.
Sexy No No No. What an intro when they were floating, just suspended from the top of the stage and just, you know, billowing with the capes and the smoke machine. You know, seeing Girls Aloud do that, that was like a big flex. It was like, okay, here we are, main pop girl energy. We haven't really seen Girls Aloud pull out those types of theatrics before, which is really why this is so exciting.
What a way to kick off a show. Section one of this tour, David, gives you two bangers, that are singles and then two album tracks straight away.
Yeah, I think that, you know, really speaks to the confidence of how that album is sold and also the material that's on it. You know, you're opening with Sexy No No No, which is the lead single, but not necessarily the biggest single of the album, but it's a statement. Going into Girl Overboard, I mean, it's kind of saying, look, we've got this big banger, roping you back in song three with Sound of the Underground, which everyone knows.
Which, again, is showing such confidence for this tour. How would that not be the opener, the closer, or the encore?
It's confidence, but also saying that it all fits.
Their performance and dancing as a group has never been stronger.
Section two, we got Can't Speak French, Love Machine, Blackjacks and Biology. So this is the more kind of fun, bubbly section of the tour, I guess.
And considering we've got such hits here, Can't Speak French, Love Machine and Biology, it's actually Blackjacks, which I think is the standout here, on this circular rotating stage. And I love this sort of like, it's almost 60-ish feel with the black and whites going on and the background visuals and the dancers. Absolutely fantastic.
So there is a bit of a vintage feel to section two, yeah.
Section three is giving us ballads.
Vocals, honey.
Also expensive. Catwalk going over and through the audience to take you to the B stage, mini pop-up stage. So we're kicking off with Whole Lot of History, which is like the girl one at a time on her vocal.
Fucking looks terrifying to me because that bridge does not look very secure. If one of you even coughs or shakes, God forbid, that would wobble. And I cannot deal with that.
In one of the girls' bios, I can't remember if it was Cheryl Kim or Sarah's, they talk about this tour and being really hungover during one of these shows and thinking, walking through the catwalk and being on the pop-up stage, thinking they're going to be sick on the audience.
When you've spent all that time at All Bar One the night before, but you've got an arena tour to do. Yeah.
Let's kick off section four properly. Fling, video intro, should have won an Oscar for best short film.
My feet are killing us.
I'm not surprised. You haven't stopped dancing all night.
Oh, hello, you two. Where you two been?
I've been trying to get to Nadine to see sense and go and talk to this good-looking guy who seems available, who's been staring at her all night, but no, she's not having any
of it. Oh, Nicola, I can't. I don't want a relationship.
Who said anything about a relationship?
I've had enough. You've just got to get out there and talk to him. If he asks too many questions, tell him not to be so serious, and in other words, tell him
it's just a fling, baby.
Nothing more than a fling.
And then I love that it ends on the five girls' silhouettes and then the screen rises and it's the same as their silhouettes behind them. It's very Inception.
See, it's giving that kind of Vegas vibe. So we love seeing the girls go from like kind of superhero cat suits at the start of the show and then it kind of gets more showgirly, Vegas style towards the end. I think this is the part where it's quite choreo heavy, like Push It, very choreo heavy. We got Wake Me Up and Walk This Way together. I think Cheryl was living for this section of the tour because, you know, we're getting a lot of Cheryl moments that are very prominent here.
Push It, Kimberly's version for Christmas number one. That is what I need.
Also really great to see in the section Control of the Knife, which I mentioned before has the bits of Khaleesa's Trick Me.
Wow. I think our Cheryl had something to say.
Oh, did she now? I mean, this was, yeah, bombastic.
She was saying, you tricked me once, won't let you trick me twice, you motherfucker. These girls with the dancing background having their moment is what's needed on a Girls Aloud tour.
Yes.
And then Call the Shots, stunning.
Again, it could have been the encore, but I think it's kind of a nice point in the show. We're towards the end now. And then it goes into Jump. We love Jump. Jump is so necessary for a show.
Okay, yes, yeah. Part of me is like, do we need Jump as the last song? No.
But I think we do. It's good fun.
But it is good for everyone. including the mums and dads, including the pop fans. Part of me looks at it and goes, Jumper's the last song. But then imagine being there in that room. Everyone is going to be going crazy.
Yeah.
And then the encore is something kind of ooh. It's absolutely fabulous. The girls have returned to the stage in these neon-coloured one-pieces. Lads, the backing dancers are topless, which is absolutely brilliant to see. And they're topless on the screens in the back as well.
It's giving regional hen do.
It's giving the power of the greatest hit single. Like, would you have picked something kind of ooh as the encore?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, actually, go on then. Really,
go on then. It's so much fun.
Al Kim stunningly sings her iconic usually spoken word section. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, she just went for it. And I was like, oh, Kimberly Walsh, chef's kiss, as always. I love, adore it, as I do with all of these girls. You can tell me that you think I need to go anytime. Now I stan it. I respect it.
It's amazing. And I think at this point, you know, Girls Aloud, as we said at the start of talking about this tour, they were really ascending into their main pop girls era, especially with the show. It feels like the girls are stepping up to the kind of Kylie, Madonna, Spice Girls realm. Julian McDonald did the designs for a lot of these outfits on stage. And, you know, it really is positioning the girls in a much cooler, like more elevated space stylistically. So we love to see that for our girlies.
The outfits on this show are absolutely incredible. All right. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. We are now, first and foremost, a Billiam Stan podcast. So we cannot wait to dive further into that. If you are loving what we're doing, please, please, please leave us a 5-star rating and a glowing review wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell your friends, hit that follow button on at Right Back Pod. You can email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at @Dr_JoelB on all platforms, and you can follow him at
Lovely Me.
Find us at Right Back Pod. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.